Let's go now to Leo Holman. Leo's written an excellent article. Leo, you were with me on my radio show today. That 10 minutes by Peter Pry was so important, I wanted to play it for my audience tonight. Do you want to comment on that as you did today?
Yeah, but first I would like to just get my two cents in about the Bible prophecy that the viewer made note of. I would ask that viewer, where does it talk about, quote, World War III in the Bible?
Yeah, it doesn't. There's no verse in the Bible talking about World War III. No.
No. And if he's talking about Gog Magog, how are we to know that that could not be what the world would call World War IV?
Exactly. That's right. That's right. So, yeah.
Right. So that makes absolutely no sense. But back to the topic, Peter Pry. Yes, I think he really covered all his bases in that monologue. It was a brilliant monologue, sort of giving us a lay of the land on this very complex situation in Eastern Europe. Eastern Europe, for folks who haven't looked at a map recently, is that transitional area between the Western world and the Eastern world, Russia, the Middle East, Turkey, all of that eastward, and then you got these Balkan countries and the Ukraine kind of in the middle, and then you've got the Western Europe, and of course, United States, Canada. But we are seeing a fissure right there in sort of the center of the world. And I do think there is some kind of biblical relevance to this whole thing. I'm not sure what it is, but the Bible does speak of wars and rumors of war heating up in the time of sorrows, the period of sorrows, which is the period that will directly precede the Great Tribulation and the Rapture and all that. I'm not convinced of exactly when the timing of the Rapture will be. I'm not as dogmatic about it as a lot of people are. You've got your people in one camp who, you know, it's before the Tribulation and nothing, they won't even consider anything else. Then you got your mid-tribbers, your post-tribbers. I don't personally think it's all that clear, and probably for a reason in the Bible. So I would just urge people not to let whatever your view is on the rapture, try not to let that cloud your view of what's happening right now. Oh, that can't be World War III. Oh, that can't be the mark of the beast. You know, I think we're entering dangerous territory when we think we've got the timing of end time events, you know, so dogmatically and perfectly, you know, straight in our minds.
Well, and that's what I say with a lot of these guys, some of them who now have passed away, but some are still with us. They would go to conferences. They would have one in Dallas. They just had one in Dallas.
And they disagree.
And yet they agree on it's going to happen. But even the guys with the PhDs in these topics who've traveled all over the world and written multiple books on the topic, they agree it's going to happen. But some of them even disagree when and the timing.
Right.
So I think you're right.
Right. So, you know, I think human nature is to want to join a team. And so, you know, I join this Bible scholars team, and I'm with someone else is on an opposing team, and you know, and they don't have any clue as to which one of those scholars is correct, but they feel like they need to join a team. Maybe it's the church that they attend, the preacher that they sit under follows a certain scholar. I like to read all of the Bible scholars and sort of keep an open mind in terms of the timing of events. And as I always say, play it by ear.
Yeah, well, it's all unfolding, and I know that people who have mocked us for saying we believe that the COVID passports are the mark of the beast. I don't believe they're the mark of the beast, but I do believe the technology and the conditioning is laying the foundation for the coming of the mark of the beast. I think when the mark of the beast shows up, I think people will know exactly what it is they're taking. But I do believe this is laying the foundation for it.
Any objective analysis of these COVID passports would have to give you pause at the very least to say, wait a minute, the way they're starting to implement these things, you're not able to get a job and you're not able to buy or sell unless you have one. Now, I'm not saying that means necessarily it is the mark of the beast, but let's just say this. That is the closest thing to the mark of the beast that we have seen since the dawn of time.
Absolutely. I agree. Let's look at the screen here. This is an article by Leo. The Leo, where'd you get this graphic, by the way?
I caught a little heat for that graphic. I found it online, and it was an open, it wasn't a copyrighted graphic, so I grabbed it. I loved it. I couldn't resist it.
Did it really get shown on One America News?
Apparently so, yeah.
Wow. Wow. Okay, this is at leoholman.com. As the sound of war drums grow louder, the real enemy remains hidden behind the curtain. Talk to me about this article, what you're presenting at leoholman.com today.
Yeah, this article has caught a lot of attention. I guess what I'm trying to explain in this article is that we shouldn't focus so much on the players, the front men that we see on the news, you know, Biden and Putin and Ukraine and U.S. There's more to this story, Brannon, and I think it's about more than just saving the Ukrainian people from that horrible dictator, Vladimir Putin. There's one thing in his brilliant analysis that Dr. Peter Pry mentioned as he was going over all of these possible motivations for why the U.S. government could possibly be wanting to provoke a world war. And one of them was something that I address in this article, and that is the fact that these global elites are at the point right now where they need a distraction. And the bigger the distraction, the better, because they've spent 2 years now propagating a false narrative that they probably knew from the beginning would only last and be credible for so long. I don't think they're entirely shocked that their narrative is starting to fall apart and people are starting to figure out that the vaccines don't work and that COVID is survivable and treatable. And getting COVID is not a death sentence. You know, newsflash, 2 years later, people are starting to figure that out. And so they realized, I think, from the beginning that they would be able to milk their narrative for only so long and get as many tyrannical, dictatorial new policies in place and take away as many freedoms as possible for as long as the American people and the European people and the Australian people and the Canadian people would put up with it, okay? And by the looks of this video, if you could play it, where it shows a vast number of people, 500,000 gathering over the weekend in Brussels, Belgium, to protest the vaccine mandates okay. and all of the restrictions.
Let's show a little of this. Here we go, Logan. Let's show this. Leo, are they chanting yes. USA?
That's what I wondered. It sounded like it, didn't it?
It did.
Maybe they feel like the USA is the last bastion between them and dictatorship. I don't know. But it did sound like they were chanting that. But when's the last time you saw that many people filling the streets of a major European city just wanting their freedom? Yeah, and so I really do feel like the globalist narrative about COVID is coming to an end.
And then you provide a link in your article. Well, Bill, and I played it tonight in my newscast. Bill Maher, he has a leftist on, and Bill Maher and the leftists are like, we're done with this.
Yes, yes. I mean, and there was a fairly good-sized rally in Washington, D.C. on Sunday where Dr. McCullough and Dr. Malone and
RFK Jr.,
RFK Jr. all spoke. the crowd was raucous and lively and you know, really freezing cold temperatures. I mean, it was like 20-some degrees out there, and you had a crowd of, I don't know, 50, 60,000 or more people come out to listen to these patriot doctors tell us the truth about COVID and the vaccines. And so I put a clip of Dr. Malone's speech in there, and I don't know, there was something about the speech. He was reading it, but yet it felt like it was epic. It felt like a landmark speech.
Let me play. Let's play a minute or two of that. Here we go.
Yeah, it's not that long. It's not that long.
Here we go.
Davos oligarchs have demonstrated their gross incompetence to all the world over the last 2 years. They have neither right nor ability to govern America and Americans. We are a free people. And we have governed ourselves for almost 250 years now, based on a constitution developed by self-reliant farmers, tradesmen, shop owners, and landholders. These forefathers rejected a foreign monarchy and oligarchy and instead created and fought for a political structure which remains an inspiration for the world. A shining city on the hill, Camelot. When I was very young, a brilliant man said, "Ask not what your country can do for you, but ask what you can do for your country." This is our country. We own this amazing gift, but we must defend it if we wish to keep it. Today, I ask all of you to keep that brilliant young man's words in your mind and heart. We can all be leaders, and now is the time to step up to the task. We will survive this, and we will overcome these hardships if we could just keep these three simple words in our hearts: integrity, dignity, community. So fight for your children. Do not comply. I thank you so much for your time and attention.
Dr. Malone at the Defeat the Mandates rally,
yes,
Washington, D.C. Sunday. Yeah, that's right. All of these clips, by the way, are embedded in his article at leohoman.com, leohoman.com. Leo, can you stay over with us? I want to add Alex Newman to the conversation. You want to stay?
Sure.
Okay,
yeah.
Let's add Alex Newman to the conversation, because you two are both going to compliment each other. Alex Newman of The New American, as well as Liberty Sentinel, and he has a show each and every afternoon here on Lindell TV from, what, is it 3 to 3:30, Logan? 3:30 to 4 Central. 3:30 to 4 Central. 3:30 to 4. Alex, welcome to the broadcast. Thanks for joining us.
Great to be with you. Hey, Leo. How are you guys?
Hello, Alex. Very good. Thank you.
Hey, by the way, just real quick, since you were last with us, your father was in the hospital. You've gotten him out, right?
We did. Yeah, I didn't say it on your show. I didn't want to give away too much and risk our operation, but we were able to smuggle ivermectin, budesimide, vitamin C, vitamin D, zinc, and other things through an orderly into the hospital. These were all prescribed to my father by his personal doctor, and he started improving almost immediately.
Wow.
So after fighting the hospital's delaying tactics, we were able to bust him out, and praise God, I think you know, the prayers and the active intervention of the family ended up saving his life. He would have just been another one of those statistics, went in with COVID, got put on the remdesivir, had catastrophic organ failure, and, oh, we did everything we could for him. Sorry, now where's that bonus check from Dr. Fauci and the federal government? So thank you very much for having me on to talk about that a few days ago, Brandon, and to everybody out there who called the hospital or sent letters and all the wonderful messages I got from everybody. Thanks to everyone, and especially to all those who prayed. We think that made all the difference.
Excellent, excellent. Well, I've been talking to Leo tonight, Alex, about a new article he has out as the sound of war drums get louder, the real enemy remains hidden behind the curtain. Talking about the globalists and their desire for war. We've discussed this with you before. As the American people wake up, as we see people in the UK and all throughout Europe waking up, 100, you know, just how many were at that rally? 500,000, Leo?
Yeah, in Brussels, 500,000.
So if you see 500,000 people show up at one rally, we just had tens of thousands at the rally in D.C. on Sunday. As people are waking up around the world, liberals even, Bill Maher just had a liberal guest on, people are waking up. This makes the globalists more dangerous. But I've been doing a series, I did a series on Sunday nights for 9 Sunday nights in the fall up to the end of the year. The great collapse is necessary for the great reset. As the world wakes up, including many on the left, doesn't this make the globalists or those that Leo's referring to as behind the curtain, doesn't this make them more dangerous, Alex?
It absolutely does. I've been warning for many months that because the tide is turning, people are waking up to the fraud that is COVID. They're waking up to the fraudulent testing. They're waking up to the fraudulent protocols that are being used to kill patients in the hospital. There is a mass awakening going on now, and I think they have completely lost control of the narrative as far as the COVID and the lockdowns and all the rest of it. And that means that you know they're not just going to go away quietly and say, oh, you got us. Sorry, we tried to kill you all. Whoops, right. We won't do it again. You know, now they go for the next trick up their sleeve, which may be a cyber pandemic, which the World Economic Forum has been preparing for quite some time. It may be a collapse of the currency. It may be a world war. You never know what these insane criminals are liable to do, but you could be sure it will be deadly. You could be sure it will be dangerous. And one thing that it will do is get everybody off the COVID bandwagon. We'll stop talking about the COVID criminals and we'll move on to the next crisis and we'll, you know, give up our rights in that sense. So absolutely, they are extremely dangerous right now. And we need to keep that in mind. It looks like we're winning and on the narrative front we are, but the globalists will absolutely stop at nothing to obtain their objectives. And they are not worried about killing people. They're not worried about using propaganda. That's what they do. So we must be concerned.
All right, Logan, show the screen. Many of you know I have multiple websites. One of them is this one right here, worldviewreport.com. It's your conservative worldview alternative to the Drudge Report, worldviewreport.com. We put up a lot of aggregated news articles, as you can see, a ton. But let's go to the top of the – oh, by the way, the one we did last night is featured right now, the UN and Jesuits running repressed memory counseling for illegal aliens. I mean, that one blew my mind last night. But look at this latest article right here. Dr. Peter Vincent Price sent this to me today. Here we go. U.S. believes Russia may soon launch cyber attacks against critical American infrastructure. That's what a source is saying inside the U.S. government, okay? Now, that's also interesting because look at this one he sent me also. Power blackouts sweep across Central Asia after regional grid issues. So, again, isn't this all very interesting, Alex? And then, Leo, you can respond. Isn't this interesting? Because didn't these guys practice at the World Economic Forum for a cyber attack and a big simulation and warning everybody? And yet, here we are, just like they ran lockstep by the Rockefellers in 2010, October 2019, Event 201, running a scenario with the CIA involved. And now, of course, some of the same players are running a scenario for cyber attacks. Cue the cyber attack because we need, as you said, the next crisis.
Yeah, and you and I have been sounding the alarm about this for a long time, Brandon. The World Economic Forum was doing the cyber polygon exercises, and we had a video of Klaus Schwab explaining that the cyber pandemic will make the COVID pandemic look mild by comparison. And it absolutely will. I mean, just imagine losing critical infrastructure like the internet, like online commerce, like, now even the power plants and the trains and the airplanes are all run using systems that are online. So this has the potential to be catastrophic. And, you look at these videos that the World Economic Forum puts out, like by 2030, we're going to own nothing. And you think, how would it ever be possible to go from where we are now to owning nothing in a period of 8 years? Well, obviously, it would take some sort of absolutely catastrophic event, like, for example, a catastrophic cyber pandemic that would wipe clean all the banking records, that would wipe clean all of the property ownership records. And then they'd come back and say, well, we just had this tragedy, but we're going to fix it, and we're going to do this, that, and the other. So when they do these types of exercises, we need to be paying very, very close attention when the World Economic Forum is involved, when Bill Gates and the Gates Foundation is involved, when the Council on Foreign Relations is talking about these things in their magazines. You need to be very cautious. And as Admiral Chester Ward explained, he was an admiral in the U.S. Navy. He joined the Council on Foreign Relations for 16 years. He explained that if you want to know the policy of the U.S. government a couple of years in advance, you just need to subscribe to their magazine, Foreign Affairs. And so that's where Klaus Schwab first unveiled the Fourth Industrial Revolution. That's where Bill Gates first unveiled gene editing technology that they wanted to use to edit our gene codes. So when you see these types of people talking about these things, yes, you're not going to see it in the mainstream media. You're not going to see it on CNN or even Fox News. But when you see the elites talking about these things, you need to be paying very careful attention and taking prudent steps to protect yourself and your family.
Yeah. Leo?
Well, I just think it's interesting that they've already forecast that we're going to have a cyber attack. You know, they prepared for it. Now you're reading a headline of a story where they're announcing that we should prepare for a cyber attack from Russia. So since they've already predicted back in the summer with Cyber Polygon that we were going to have a cyber pandemic, I wonder if we should believe that it's really Russia that conducts the cyber attack.
In other words, it could be our own government, our own CIA, who increasingly, fellers, I'm believing increasingly the CIA was behind the color revolution in America. I believe they were behind a lot of the voter fraud. I believe a lot of these, in my opinion, a lot of these ballot printing companies were front groups or contracted by the CIA. I am more and more convinced we're looking at the Event 201 that the CIA was at. Robert F. Kennedy Jr. talks about it, writes about it. He warned on Sunday at the Defeat the Mandates rally about the Central Intelligence Agency and these groups that have been involved in a coup d'etat. This is what they do. The CIA has not been on our side almost since the first day it was created. And if they were behind the pandemic, and oh, and by the way, tonight we're also getting this report, if you want to show this, Logan, gain-of-function researcher Peter Daszak accused of being CIA asset, Echo Health Alliance described as front for agency. Okay, and we, again, reported on some of that last week. Well, if the CIA was behind this pandemic, and would they not then also use it to justify all these billions and millions of ballots, of which, by the way, the state senator from Texas was on here last week, that he alerted the attorney general of Texas about 2 million ballots sitting on a dock, which the attorney general spoke about when he was on my show as well, attorney general of Texas, and they stopped that. Could that be CIA or intelligence community vendors doing this? And then again, if they were involved in helping with the simulation of Event 201 planning for the pandemic in October 2019, then wouldn't they also take advantage of it by then using this for massive voter fraud and drop boxes, et cetera, et cetera? And you got CISA signing off on drop boxes in multiple states, which is Chris Krebs' group, before he got fired. So I'm starting to see the fingerprints in my analysis that the CIA and the intelligence community was all over this voter fraud as well as on the pandemic. And when I asked a state representative from Wisconsin the other night, Tim Rantham, I said, you know, this is my thoughts. I was waiting for him to go, okay, that's interesting, and move on. He laughed, and he chuckled. He said, I can't argue with this. I cannot argue with this. This goes so deep. It's almost like people are afraid to say it. Maybe I'm just too stupid and I have too big of a mouth. But it seems like a lot of people are afraid to say it, and then once I say it, they agree with it, right? Live on the air.
Yeah, I think there's no denying the fact. I don't think any knowledgeable analyst right now who's being completely honest would deny the fact that the most powerful institution in America right now, which is really in charge and running things, are the intelligence agencies. It seems like, you know, if we get a president who's in line with the agenda of the intelligence agencies, they are allowed what? They can propose legislation like a normal president. They can get favorable coverage from the media, and they can act like a normal president. But along comes a president who maybe is a little out of touch with the agenda of the intelligence agencies, and they get the treatment that we saw President Trump get. They get 98% negative coverage from the media. They get impeachment from Congress, not once but twice. And everything that he gets,
they get wiretapped. They get wiretapped.
Right.
The FBI is used with the Justice Department to try to carry out a coup on a sitting president.
Exactly, exactly. And everything that a president like that, who just happens to be what an American first type president, as opposed to a globalist foreign policy president, everything that a president like that gets done has to be done through what? Executive order. Zero cooperation, even from a Republican Congress those first 2 years.
So what you're saying is, how do we know that it's not going to be Russia? How do we know it's not going to be our own government? Or how do we know it's not going to be some organization in another country that is encouraged to carry out a cyber attack, and then they blame it on someone else to get us into a world war? How close
I'm
are we?
I'm just throwing that out there, Brandon, as food for thought.
How close are we to a world war, Alex?
Well, I think we are potentially extremely close, and the globalists have understood for generations that war is the most effective way of advancing globalism. In fact, they've put this down on paper. Remember the Council on Foreign Relations, very, very senior official, Lincoln Bloomfield, wrote a report for the State Department and the Institute for Defense Analyses, and the actual title of the report, you can find it, is A World Effectively Controlled by the United Nations. And in this report, he concludes, again, for the U.S. government, that the most effective way to move us from where we were then in 1968, a world of at least relatively sovereign nation states, to a world effectively controlled by the United Nations is the use of war or the threat of war to change people's attitudes. And so I think the key pieces to this puzzle that people need to understand, Brandon, is that the Russians and the Chinese are indeed up to no good. There's no question about it. You know, if the Russians actually did a cyber attack, if the Chinese actually did a cyber attack, it would not surprise me at all. In fact, I think one of the pieces of the puzzle that people need to be familiar with that unfortunately very few Americans know of are the revelations from Anatoly Golitsyn, probably the most important defector to have ever defected from the Soviet Union to the United States. He actually revealed all of this to the CIA in the early 1980s, years, a decade before it happened. He finally wrote it in books because the CIA was doing nothing with it for obvious reasons. But he made something like 205 specific predictions that you could say either that happened or it didn't. So far, about 200 of those have come true. His final prediction was that the Russians and the Chinese would collaborate. He said there'd be a phony collapse of the Soviet Union. There'd be a phony liberalization in Eastern Europe. The communists would remain in charge. He said the Sino-Soviet split was a fraud. And he came out of the disinformation department of the KGB. He was in Department D that worked on these long-term disinformation campaigns. So he said there's going to be a fraudulent collapse of the Soviet Union. That's going to be used to disarm the West, to flood Russia and China with technology and financial capital and factories and sensitive secrets. And he said at the end of this, the culmination will be what he described as a second October revolution, whereby the entire world would then come under the dominion of communism. Now, Anatoly Golitsyn was also missing a critical piece of the puzzle, and I don't think you can understand what's happening without this piece of the puzzle, and that is Anatoly Golitsyn, for all of his important work, I don't believe understood this. The Soviet system and the communist Chinese system were put into place with the absolute deliberate assistance of the most elite elements in the United States, including the people who have been running the CIA, including the people who have been running the State Department for generations. This is all documented. One of the most important historians in all of American history, Anthony Sutton from Stanford University, wrote a critically important book. If you haven't read it yet, I encourage you to do it. And you don't have to agree with everything he says and all of his conclusions to recognize the significance of these documents. He proves beyond a shadow of a doubt that the Bolshevik Revolution in Russia was financed. Leon Trotsky and Vladimir Lenin were financed by the mega bankers on Wall Street. He names names. He shows the documents from the State Department. The other piece of the puzzle is how these very same globalists, same people at the CFR, people like George Marshall, the former Secretary of Defense, former Secretary of State, brought the communists to power in China. Then they built up the communists, David Rockefeller, Henry Kissinger, Jimmy Carter, George Bush, Bill Clinton, every one of them were instrumental in building communist China into a superpower. And that's still happening today. Klaus Schwab, Bill Gates, you name it. They are absolutely aiding and abetting communist China. And so will there be a world war? Potentially. What will be the purpose of it? It won't be to enslave Ukraine or to free Ukraine. Ukraine is a sideshow. So is Taiwan. The real ultimate objective here is to bring about a one-world government, and that's what people need to understand.
In this documentary that came out in December 2019, my documentary Siege, I talk in this documentary about our government in D.C. helping to put Castro in power. You know that to be true, don't you?
Yeah, it is. It's documented. The ambassador to Havana at that time, U.S. Ambassador Earl Smith, wrote a whole book about it. You should get it. It's called The Fourth Floor, and he shows you. He actually testified under oath in Congress that Castro would not be in power if the United States had not deliberately aided and abetted him. And again, it's the same
people. And by the way,
also,
this is how we lost Vietnam and the Korean
That's right.
War. Our
and Korea.
Government
That's
would
right.
not blow up the supply lines. Would not allow our guys to attack the planes sitting on the ground before they took off, attack the anti-aircraft systems before they were operational, would not take out the supply chains coming in to refuel the communists in Vietnam. We lost that war on purpose. Documentary Siege.
And General MacArthur exposed what happened in Korea. Same thing. They weren't allowed to blow up the power plants. They weren't allowed
right.
to attack the supply lines. They handcuffed our guys. They deliberately lost Korea. They deliberately lost Vietnam. They handed Cuba to Castro on purpose. The New York Times, actually Herbert Matthews, a member of the Council on Foreign Relations, said he was an anti-communist freedom fighter, the George Washington of Latin America. I mean, it's the same clowns, the same organizations over and over again every step of the way. So, folks, don't be deceived about this. Oh, Biden's not being tough enough on Russia, and it's a sideshow. Okay, Putin is right now building a regional government in the former Soviet space, just like they're doing in Europe, just like they're doing everywhere else. It's called the Eurasian Union, and they're bringing in the Belarus, and they're bringing in Kazakhstan, and they're bringing in Albania. They're doing the same thing. Putin is playing just as much in the United Nations as all the rest of these globalist clowns. Putin is not opposed to the New World Order. Putin is not a defender of Western values or Christianity. It's a lie being promoted by subversives here in our government and overseas.
And then we add in the fact that we have, as we talked about before you came on, Alex, 3 million coming over the border since Biden went into the White House. And then we've got now reports that Trudeau wants to bring 1 million from Afghanistan to Canada. In this documentary, Siege, I quote a guy who talks about Canada being like an aircraft carrier from which jihadis would launch attacks on America. And now Justin Trudeau wants to bring 1 million from Afghanistan to Canada. We're going to have them from the south and the north. And now we've got military-age males flooding into the U.S. with the help of this government on phantom flights and dropping them down into red states. A standing army. Tell me that the guy in the White House who has been bought off, according to Peter Schweitzer and others, to the tune of tens of millions by the Chinese communist intelligence arena, tell me that this guy in the White House and his people that work with him, and by the way, is he always across the street and not at the White House or in Delaware? Because that would keep Barack Obama from having to sign in. Is Barack Obama across the street at this fake White House or Valerie Jarrett? Is that why Biden is so seldom at the White House so they can handle him and not have to sign in? And is this the enemies of America, these Manchurian candidates, Obama and Biden, really running the country on behalf of the enemies, foreign and domestic, to bring down America? And they are setting us up with everything we see taking place. People see as a bit and a piece of a puzzle, but reality is you can make it all fit together if you understand the strategy, including this massive invasion of military age males now coming into the U.S. Alex?
It's all connected, 100%. Brandon.
Perfect. Yeah, and just to follow up on what Alex said, I agree with him that the overarching goal is what? One world government. But you can't get to world government until you take down the United States. That is the one thing standing in the way, I think. The Western Europeans aren't going to stop world government. Like Alex said, Putin's not going to stop world government. Biden is not going to stop world government. And Biden or the Democrats or the globalist Republicans. But the only thing that stands in the way is that 340 million people and like 350 million guns in the hands of a lot of those people. This is the one country that is both heavily armed and values its freedom. Australia, they're not going to stand in the way of it. They gave up their guns, what, 20, 25 years ago. These countries have already capitulated. This is the only country where we still have that spirit alive, that spirit of freedom alive that burns in the hearts of men and women. Enough of them. Not enough. You know, we wish there were more, but we have more in this country than any other country.
And I believe the American people need to be self-sufficient, self-reliant, not dependent on the government. If that means you order up freeze-dried food at my store, that's fine. Order up freeze-dried food with a 25-year shelf life, as we've been telling people to do since 2015 when we became distributors. You can get it at wvwtv.com/store. If you want to put that up there, Logan, wvwtv.com/store. But be self-reliant. Don't be dependent on the government. Maybe that means you go to Costco or your grocery store and you stock up. Wherever you get it, be self-sufficient. Practice your Second Amendment rights. Be self-sufficient because they want you dependent on them so you will give up your liberty and freedom because you have no other choice in order to have a meal, to have heat, to have air, to have blankets. Be prepared and self-sufficient. Do you guys agree with that?
100%. Alex, go ahead.
I couldn't agree more, Brandon. I've been telling people the same thing. The Bible says if you don't take care of your own family, you're worse than an infidel. You're worse than an unbeliever. And that doesn't mean, you know, go drain your bank account and dig a bunker in your backyard, but it means you better take some sensible precautions. You know, I'm in Florida. We get hurricanes that come through here. Hey, we're facing globalist lunatics talking about a cyber pandemic. Take some sensible precautions and be prepared so that you don't end up having to beg the government for a morsel of food or get on a bus to go to some camp because the government says that's where the food is. You don't want to be in that situation.
Give your website, Alex.
LibertySentinel.org is my personal one, and also I'm the senior editor at The New American. You can find us at TheNewAmerican.com. And my show, The Sentinel Reports, every day, every weekday, 4:30 to 5 Eastern Time, right here on Frank's Beach.
Absolutely. And LeoHoman.com, LeoHoman.com. Leo, thanks for being with us as well.
Absolutely, Brandon. Thanks for having me.
Appreciate both of you guys big time. Thank you.